Welcome, dumbheads, to MDC, Mega Dumbcast. In this podcast, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Ninjas and Super Spies to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is the revised Ninjas and Super Spies 7th printing from May 2000. Today we're discussing page 71 of Ninjas and Super Spies. There's a ton here. We're just getting into implants. These are the types of cybernetics that are implanted in the body. They don't replace any parts. They're not disguises. It's just wherever you got a space, they fill it with gadgets. There are multiple categories of implants. Next page, we're going to get onto body implants, which are crammed into your various body cavities. On this page, we've got lung implants, which are decent. They'll give you extra oxygen that they keep in case of an emergency, filter out toxins, etc. And then jawbone implants. Jawbone implants are a terrible idea for all kinds of little reasons. The key question you keep coming back to is, yeah, that's useful. Why would I sew it into my face? So I quote, "All the devices listed here are implanted in the jawbone next to either the right or left ear. This location is ideal for communication-oriented devices. The implant can speak or sound directly into the inner ear without leaking detectable noises out of the body. In addition, the character can manipulate switches on the devices by moving the jaw. It's also simple for the character to sub-vocalize, whispering without letting out sound, so that microphones in the jaw can pick up the message." So, already this is a precarious technology. This is, okay, we're gonna pick a place in your head, where there's a lot of space, you know, like, right beneath the ear, and we're going to implant, various useful devices. Many of them devices that you would expect to keep in your pocket, or on a dashboard in a vehicle. But we're gonna put them in your face instead, for a couple of reasons. First of all, it will be easy enough for you to communicate simply by keeping your mouth closed and sub-vocalizing. You know, you speak without letting out a sound, and the microphone will pick it up and it'll be perfectly clear. For example, the first device is a built-in telephone that allows you to make a call to the folks back home, provided the agency has decided to spring for phones in this instance, and tell them how the mission's going. This is totally imperceptible to people on the outside. You can stand, nodding politely at the person who's physically in front of you. Meanwhile, unbeknownst to them, you are calling in to check on the mission. You are moving your jaw in a series of subtle motions that you can use to dial a telephone. That's 10 distinct jaw motions, you know, one for each of the numerals. And then various other controls that you're going to need. The ability to start and drop the call, for instance. That'll look perfectly natural to bystanders. And not to mention how convenient it is. I mean, who wants to go to the trouble of dialing a keypad or pressing some kind of subdermal plastic speed dial button when you could simply engage in a series of 11 highly specific jaw motions? And then once you've dialed, it's a simple matter of carrying on a full phone conversation, without moving your lips or Adam's apple or whatever. But it doesn't end with the telephone. There's also a radio. There's also a scrambler for the radio. To use the scrambler, you do have to preset your scrambler settings. But, you know, it's no problem. We can come up with 30 or 40 more distinctive jaw movements. I mean, the jaw is well known as the most articulate part of the body and also the most subtle to move in front of trained observers. But this is all pretty basic, right? This is communicating with a device right next to your mouth, like, predictable. Let's get on to some other applications of that precious real estate right underneath the ear. There's the radar imaging device, a radar motion detector that picks up incoming objects. So it gives you a bonus, for example, to dodge or duck or dramatically backfist someone who's trying to sneak up and punch you from behind. It also gives you the ability to detect and dodge incoming bullets. So once you've installed this gadget, you can look forward to a loud ping sounded directly into your ear whenever an object between the size of a bullet and a person approaches you from any direction, at any speed, ranging from a person jogging to supersonic. It's like having a spider sense that actually goes off whenever there's a spider near you, which is to say, always. Nonetheless, if you could narrow its settings, so for example, if you know there's a sniper loose, you know, and you want to detect small, very fast-moving objects coming at you, that would be really useful. Unfortunately, there's no way to really set the device in that way, since it is inside your body. It's a little bit of a design flaw, but I guess whoever invented it, you know, the radar genius who invented this thing thought, I mean, it's such a versatile and potentially life-saving device. Why wouldn't you want to permanently set it to maximum sensitivity and then implant it directly in your body so you can't turn it off or get rid of it. I mean, this seems like it would be a wonderful thing to have in, for example, your pocket. But you know, these guys, they don't make any money unless they do the surgery. That's how they get you. There's also an audio recorder that you can implant into yourself for $20,000. It has a 12-hour reusable tape that can't be removed. However, the game helpfully informs us that it can be set to record, playback, rewind, or fast forward. This way you can do a mixtape of espionage secrets and then play it for your only true friend, yourself, because the tape cannot be removed or played for others. But if I know the true cybernetics enthusiast, you're not going to want to stop there. You're going to want to use all that space under the ear. You're going to want to fill up that jaw. And for that reason, why not throw in two seemingly random gadgets? The clock calendar is a three-function digital watch, basically. It keeps time, you can set alarms, and you can set it to remind you repeatedly what the time is. You can't look at it because it's in your head. You can't fix it if it breaks because it's in your head. And if you need to go into a secure installation and they're not going to let you take devices, you can't really take it off because it's in your head. But it is directly connected to your ear internally. So if you need to secretly know when it's precisely 7 p.m. every day, then this is the watch for you. All you have to do is just implant your simple instructions using yet another series of highly specific jaw movements. And then finally, there is the gyro compass. The gyro compass, if I had to pick one dumbest thing in this list, it's the gyro compass. Because this is a device whose utility is severely degraded by being sewed up under your skin. A gyro compass is a perfectly useful device. And as the game points out, it's especially useful for someone who is a pilot. If you're going to be in air vehicles, doing all kinds of crazy tricks and maneuvers, moving at high speeds, it would be very useful to you to know which way is north, which way is up, and how high off the ground you are. That would in fact be useful information to have at a glance. But as we know, you cannot glance inside your jawbone. Instead, you have to verbally ask your gyro compass, subvocally, I guess whatever your question is. I guess this is navigation by Zoltar, where you have to go up to it and ask a question and then get a response, which you, I guess, have to interpret very quickly because, for example, if you're flying a jet, you're going to ask something like attitude, and it's going to say whatever the aviation parlance is, that you're like 10 degrees up from level. And then if you try to correct for it, then of course there's nothing for you to see. So you would have to then ask again, once you've picked a new attitude, whether you've managed to get it level. And then the compass would verbally tell you. So you're going to be engaged in a constant conversation with this compass. So that's the disadvantage of keeping your compass in your ear instead of on your instrument panel. But what's the advantage? Well, once again, it's its ability to speak directly into your ear. So if you need to do secret navigation, then you're all set. So that's something. If you've got people in the jet fighter cockpit with you who you wouldn't want to find out which way is north, then all you've got to do is ask north subvocally to your built-in jaw compass, and your built-in jaw compass will respond directly into your ear some succinct three-dimensional way of describing which direction is north as you hurtle through the air at supersonic speed. It's about privacy, and privacy is a privilege that you can buy for the low, low price of $40,000. Jawbone implants are, to varying degrees, stupid ideas, but the idea that a cybernetically enhanced fighter pilot would navigate by constantly asking Siri which way is north is definitely the dumbest thing on this page. Join me next time when we discuss cyber implants for your guts on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the podcast wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Ninjas and Super Spies, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Ciambietta. This slightly annoying theme song is Cartoon Battle by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at Incompetech.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.